Oh, hi everybody, and good morning to you here from the Little Bear Meditation Center north of the Arctic Circle. And it's getting pretty arctic up here. Everything, all the leaves have turned just within the past week, and you really begin to see what it's like when winter starts to close in the far north. But still, the compensation is the northern lights will do their dance and inspire those who think of the solar system and the sun. So I guess we're on number 48, Brett tells me. Yeah, we are on number 48. And we're continuing our work with, well, it's all based on the illusion or the great heresy of separateness. If there were not separateness, so many glamours would not arise. The glamour arises more on the kama manasic level, more on the emotional and that combination of emotion and mind we call kama manas, but it's based largely on how we think and how we identify ourselves. We are identified so often with just a fragment of what we are. We hold on to that for dear life, and we hate that which is different in energy and may come along and threaten our particular integration at a certain level. This integration is based upon an illusion, of course, but it's what we have, and our goal is to ever expand our ring pass knot in a Jupiterian manner so that it perpetually widens and we become more and more inclusive. But in order to do that, we have to step outside our comfort zone. And new and different energies come in and they threaten us, and we want to repel them so we can hang on to our limited state of identity, our limited state of integration. But eventually, the greater powers are stronger, and our grip upon our littleness weakens. And gradually, Jupiter and Neptune both begin to offer their beneficent influences, and the ring pass knot expands, and it begins even to dissolve. So we not only include new energies, new beings, and so forth, but we begin to realize that there's not a lot of difference between us and them. And in fact, finally, we realize there's no difference at all. So, it's this glamour of hatred is based upon a mistaken identity in the mind, and an unwillingness to let go of that which makes us secure in terms of identity. But being students of esotericism, we know that we have to let go. I mean, when I used to read the old Alan Watts and Suzuki descriptions of Zen Buddhism, they summarized it all in the two words, let go. So we have a kind of a grip upon what turns out to be illusory in the last analysis. And we have to somehow relax that grip and allow a wider being to become our sense of being, our sense of identity. So there are pretty big roots in this repulsion that works out between people. I remember DK saying at first, I'll just loosely paraphrase, that the rays basically hate and kill each other in the beginning, and only later do they see themselves, as the mountain is climbed, as complementary and necessary to each other. And we know that in how it's been in history. You know, let's just take the sixth ray, for example. It's war against science. On the fifth ray, it's war against the nature religions. On the seventh ray, and how, you know, the fifth ray has itself repelled the sixth ray and the ritualism of the seventh ray. And there are all of these ray interactions which are not harmonious at first, and they're simply based upon difference and from based upon not having a wide enough point of view to see how the other ray energies can complement the expression of your own ray energy. Well, being students of these things, gradually we see the fallacy and we allow the wider world in. So I guess this is our 48th program, and Olivia and Tuya and I, we invite you, to continue your participation. If we really are earnest about this, I guess we can keep going for the rest of this century. After which, Madame Blavatsky tells us, occultism must win the day. But of course, we have an awful lot of clearing to do within our own nature and within the larger world nature. And unfortunately, the things that we have to clear, especially in ourselves, are not always easy to see. It's I think a lot of DK students were quite shocked when he was pointing out what he perceived to be their particular glamours, because they were going along business as usual, and they did not seem to have these glamours until he made them take note of these glamours. And some were very, very subtle, and each was rather individual, based upon a long history of many lives and developing those attitudes which prevented the perception of reality. Now, this is one of the things about glamour. It simply makes it difficult to see what is real through the factor of distortion, which is exaggerating and minimizing. You know, it's very simple in a certain, we just don't see things as they are properly related. We don't see things in proportion. So that has to be eliminated. You know, a good dose of Libra will help us there, and the solar angel under Venus will help us see things more truly. So before we get into a few readings, basically what I've done here is going through the books and looking for how it is that the idea of hatred is expressed, and you know, listing these things. Hopefully we can root it out of ourselves, because it's a very subtle factor, and it can be masquerading or hiding in our own nature, and we just don't know it. So we'll read a little bit from the different books as we go along, and I think if we could reestablish our proper sense of identity, these glamours would begin to really dissipate, because the illusions upon which they are based would be challenged. Now, we've reignited the group that we had for a while, that's been active inactive since January, and it's called Identify as Being. Some of you have been receiving a couple of documents from me, in which I go through some fundamental thoughts, and I think in the chat box somewhere in there is the email address for it. So if you want to join that group and search for a truer sense of identity, which is not limited by personality, not even limited by soul, actually, write to Brett and let me know too, and we'll send you an invitation. We can't just put you on a list. There has to be an invitation sent. We could do this on Facebook, and I'll talk to Brett about that, but right now we're working with the Yahoo groups. So if you're interested in going deeper into those matters, I think in the chat box I have the actual Yahoo groups address, and then you know Brett's address. Maybe Brett, you can put your address into the chat box, and mine too. Just let me know that you are interested, and Brett will follow through with an invitation for you. Okay, let's just have a little sense of cooperating as soul-infused personalities. We're apparently scattered all over the globe, but we know that time and space are illusions born of the manner in which the self-perception of the great beings operates. So we do come together in that sense of one consciousness, and together can imagine that a kind of group soul infuses all of us and brings us, welds us, as a Vulcanian term, welds us into an instrument which can be used to bring necessary light onto the astral plane, in which the majority of human beings are still suffering from delusions. So we offer ourselves to the great ones to carry out their instructions on clearing the astral plane of those kamamanasic thought forms, which mostly center around the nine heads of the Hydra. Of course, with glamour, their number is legion, but DK has given us the physical, emotional, and mental heads, wrong attitudes and thoughts around sex, money, and comfort, fear, hatred, and ambition, pride, separativeness, and cruelty. Those are the main ones he's given us. And a lot of the glamours arise out of those. It's a very important subject, I would say, and like I say, it's not possible to reach everyone in English. So if you feel capable and interested, there may be ways for you to reach the speakers and thinkers in your own country in their own language. So just let me know about that, and I think there are economical ways to do that. Even if you reach only a handful of people, it's something. Okay, so then we'll go forward. Morning voice. Okay. Now, there are some references here which we can go over and make note of any thoughts that may come to you that you would like to discuss. These references are nested in a certain context, and we'll try to make the best of these contexts without going into the entire source from which they came. That would be maybe too time consuming. But now we're in the book Discipleship in the New Age. And this D.K. is talking to one of his more advanced disciples. Her name was Regina Keller, and she was maybe Alice Bailey's right-hand person when it came to editing the books and sort of giving the kind of support at headquarters that was necessary. She had a very, very responsible job. She was a Capricorn, and I think the sign Cancer was rising, and her rays were the second ray soul, and then, unusually, every ray in the personality was a hardline ray. The third ray personality, the first ray mind, the first ray astral body, which may have something to do with what he's saying to her here, and the seventh ray physical vehicle. So that's quite unusual. You don't find people, and maybe she's the only one, I'm trying to think, who have all hardline rays in the personality or all softline rays in the personality, because it would threaten the balance unless a person is already inherently quite balanced. So he speaks to her here, and he says, before you can claim the full prerogatives of an accepted disciple, which you are, you know, somewhere between the first and second initiation, and especially as one closes in on the second initiation, the possibility of accepted discipleship is there, and then it continues all the way until the third degree, when one becomes an initiate and a fuller member of the ashram. Before you can claim the full prerogatives of an accepted disciple, which you are, and later in that group of 24, all of them were accepted disciples following 1939, when he disbanded the other groups. You must penetrate behind the scenes or the shutter of your personality and become aware of the violence of your true feelings. Now, remember, she's a first ray astral body, okay? So storms and tempers, or the repression of storms and tempers, are possible to such a person. Become aware of the violence of your true feelings on the question of racial differences. She was a Jewish person who, and Alice Bailey actually had quite a few Jews helping her in headquarters. And of course, this was the time of the Second World War, so there were very strong feelings aroused of social standing and of class distinctions and of personality affection. Some kind of inferiority complex was existing here that he tried to tell her about, but she didn't really recognize it. There is in you what amounts to an almost to an inhibited hatred. That's why we have to be so very careful about this, because we may not detect a very strong feeling of repulsion that exists within us, and we convince ourselves that it is not so. And then he goes on to analyze, it is partially racial, partially European, and partly a totally unnecessary sense of social and personal inferiority. She's one of those people that he said, okay, you know, you're not really identified with the Jewish group. In this life you are, but your history is something entirely different. So somehow this was a very big test for her, and she succeeded and failed at the same time. You assure yourself that it is not there. You refuse to recognize it with great deliberation. You say to yourself, and we, you know, we may do the same kind of thing when it comes to the hidden factors in our life, which are glamorous. You refuse to recognize it. You say to yourself, I am all love and understanding because I am a soul. Well, we always have to watch out for the assertion that is not accompanied by the appropriate consciousness. And you very frequently are a soul, and your influence is soul influence. She was an advanced disciple, you know, perhaps coming close to the third initiation. But behind all this lies a blind spot. I remember when Mary Bailey, I think, you know, I hope she was joking. I think she was joking. She says, I have quite a few blind spots, and I'm aware of every one of them. Wait, that didn't compute for a moment, but I think she was having me on, you know, a little bit of a joke. So you frequently are a soul, and your influence is soul influence, but behind it all lies a blind spot. It is a sticking your head into the sand type of glamour. You know, the ostrich does this when it's challenged, and a refusal to register your personality limitations along this line, because of course it would be, you know, degrading to do so, and we don't like perhaps to admit to our weaknesses, which would make us reduce our estimation of our spiritual standing. It's a perfectly natural thing. You, with your wisdom and soul contact, she has a lot of it, could most easily handle this if you so desired. And this is what a master is for, you know, to point things out which we not only do not see, but refuse to see. In the Bible it says, none are so blind as those who will not see. So there's a lot we could discover in ourselves if we cared to, and take care of quite expeditiously if we cared to, but we sometimes prefer to maintain our inner reputation through a type of self-enforced blindness. Anyway, in this case, it just goes to show that some of the problems within us may not be easily seen, and we may be suppressing them unbeknownst to ourselves, and it takes someone else to point this out. And it tells us a little bit about this first ray energy, which has such a strong repulsion in it. But since she's a second ray soul and she knows what's right, she just sort of refuses to admit that that is there. Now, here's another, let's see, what did I say? I forgot where her moon was, and that would be important. But anyway, the sign Cancer is oftentimes full of fear, and Capricorn is a very demanding kind of sign that wants to hold up to all that is high and right when it's not giving in to ambition. So she had a real polarity there. And I suppose I could, oh no, I'm not going to go on a search for that right now. But anyway, we have her horoscope, and I think on Makara, it's been a long time that I have analyzed this, her letters, and gotten into her horoscope and where it all comes from. So you may find that. And Elena Dramcini, as you know, is doing a very thorough type of analysis of those disciples for whom we have the astrological chart. So I think you can find those things on Makara, www.makara.us, and they might be interesting to you. Now we go to another disciple. He had a tough time, and he was one of those who more spectacularly failed, although he had done something for Master DK that was very sacrificial in a previous life. And DK said, well, you will find that we are not ungrateful. So, you know, it was a payback in a way, and DK was taking care of him. But he was a Taurus person. And DK said of him, well, you are stubborn, but your will is weak. Oh, my. So he had, he had Leo and Libra along with that Taurus. And my memory is failing me here a little bit. I forget which was his moon and which was his son, and I'm tempted to go take a little time to look. But let's just say the relationship energy of Libra, that was one of his big problems. He was somehow very interested in women, and Leo, of course, was the pride factor, and Taurus was the stubbornness. Well, let's see what DK says about him. Will you please study anew my last instructions to you and ponder upon them with renewed interest? Note again what I said to you for your encouragement and end to your life tendency, because I think he was gearing up to take the second initiation under Scorpio, and in his next life he could if he just solved his particular problems. So it's about his life tendency, and be not the least discouraged by my present frankness. Master DK said, I'm going to speak to all of you with utter frankness. But I guess Alice Bailey didn't really let him do that entirely with her statements. Oh, you can't say that. Anyway, but still, he was very frank. Remove your eyes from off yourself and seek liberation in serving others and in loving all men. Now, in esoteric astrology, when you read in Taurus, it tells us that at first this sign has difficulty demonstrating the energy of love. We might not think that is correct, in as much as Venus is very strong, but it's more the energy of light and wisdom that Taurus demonstrates. There are those you do not love. Now, in his group, the second aspect is very important. Until you love them as a soul should love, you will not tread the way of liberation. There is hatred in your heart and a sense of strong distaste for some you know and who are close to you in this incarnation. Now, notice his advice when dealing with hatred, which is in the last analysis, a kind of self-protection. There's something you're trying to protect in yourself by eliminating the other being. Obviously, hatred is a very Plutonic kind of thing with a lot of Mars in it, and in the last analysis, you just want to get the hated object out of your way so you can continue to be who you are within your own comfort zone and are not challenged to have to change. Okay, there's hatred in your heart and a sense of strong distaste for some you know and who are close to you in this incarnation. Wrench that hatred out. DK can be pretty drastic at times. He just says, whip yourself into shape. Okay. Well, nice second ray master, right? Wrench that hatred out and seek to offer love and understanding. Therein, frankly, lies your problem. He's speaking very straight. Get rid of hatred and self-pity, and he was immersed like a good second ray soul in self-pity, and you will leap ahead upon the path, because basically this man was very qualified in certain ways that would have brought to him the tests of the second initiation in his next incarnation. But he was fixated and he couldn't move off certain attitudes. So when we find some of these glamours, cast out all fear, all hate, we are told in the 15 councils. As a matter of fact, if you don't know where they are, I just want to point them out to you, and this would be in a treatise on white magic, and it would be on page 473 or so, and there it is. These 15 councils, they should be very familiar to us. Memorize them, apply them as best you can. Watch close the gates of thought. Be a sentinel to desire, sentinel desire. Cast out, see, it's like wrenching out of yourself these negative attitudes. Cast out all fear, all hate, all greed. Look out and up. And I'm remembering that that is what Master DK told RSU, he said, yeah, you have failed, but please face the sun, lift your face to the sun, look out and up and go forward. So no matter how serious our present blockages and sins may be, we always have the opportunity to do better if we just will move ahead. But sometimes we have to be rather drastic. We have to understand where these hatreds come from and what fear there is. I told you the story, I think. There were some awful movies back in the 1950s, but, you know, not being able to discriminate, I went to them as a young person. And there was this awful movie called Demetrius and the Gladiators, you know. Victor Mature was the actor, and in those days, I wonder, did people really act? Anyway, a line hit me, you know, man hates what he fears. I remember that line. It just stuck with me. Somehow it must have been, the shoe must have fit, you know. Man hates what he fears. So if we find that there is hatred in our heart for anything, and I'm remembering how the Dalai Lama, analyzing himself, said, hatred? No, not much. You know, it was kind of casual and offhand, but it showed that he had done a lot of work. We have to understand and then get rid of. And some of the getting rid of may be a wrenching. Okay, it may be a wrenching. And then DK just says a couple more things. I stand by you, friend of old, because after all, this man had probably sacrificed his life for DK somewhere along the line. That's the implication we get when he describes it. I know, and believe me, understand. I see your strength, and I know your weakness. In the vision of the world's need and the magnitude of humanity's hour, take hold of your problem. Again, that grip, that Vulcanian grip of the will. Take hold and learn to love and understand and so enter into the light. And so basically he's giving us three great qualities of the second ray which control this man's soul: loving understanding, love, understanding, and entering into the illumination, the second ray soul being the most luminous of the soul types, as he tells us, just as the fifth ray lord is the most luminous of the ray lords. Well, I think that may be enough. You know, it's not a lot, but it relates to what oftentimes plagues us and makes our life feel inharmonious or disharmonious in some manner, these hidden attitudes of repulsion. Now, we have to use the law of repulse. It is the fourth law of the soul. It's ruled by Scorpio. It's got a lot of the fourth ray in it, and first ray, of course. It repulses, it scatters, it banishes those things which are apparently not of the soul. But it's an aspect of the law of love. And then once we have achieved the soul consciousness in fact, and not just in theory, and that's the main thing, we can re-include that which we have repulsed. Because in fact, there is no real separation. All separation is fundamentally illusion. And we all, well, I'll get into that in the philosophy stuff, but we all live in one point, ever diminishing point, and there's no separation and no barriers. But we have to come to realize that, and we may realize it in one context and not in another. So it takes a lot of work. Anyway, what I'm going to do, and the rays of this man, if you know, because it's always significant, you know, where the first ray exists or the sixth ray, the hatred factor can become quite strong if those rays are not properly managed. So this man had the second ray soul, but the fourth ray, the first ray personality, that was causing him a lot of trouble. He was running over people, as DK said. He was knocking them down. He was a second ray soul, but his first-rate personality had a grip on him, so he was really rough with other people. He had the fourth-ray mind, the sixth-ray astral body, and the third-ray physical body, as I recall. Yeah, this is an interesting point. You know, obviously, Taurus people are sometimes very powerfully built, you know, and DK says, you think you have a first-ray body, physical body, but you don't. You have a third-ray physical body. It's just that your first-ray personality has such an influence on your third-ray physical body that it impresses it and makes you think that you have a first-ray physical body when, in fact, it's just an overlay, an impress from your personality. Really, your physical nature is the third ray. So it's very subtle, this science of the rays, and many, many places we can make mistakes. All right, so here, if I can do this correctly without, okay, so this is the end of our readings for number 48. And today is the 15th of September, and we'll be, as long as Tuya and I are not traveling, and if for some reason we are, we'll let you know, beginning of dissipation of Glamour Initiative readings, number 49. 49 is a really important number, seven sevens, and you know how he says, by the time you're 49, you should be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. So hopefully that is true of us who are older than 49, and will be true of us for who are approaching that age. So that will be the 22nd of September, and by that time we'll be very close to the equinox, and we'll be offering, Tuya will be offering, I'm sure, broadcast on the equinox, the Libra equinox. All right, so much for that. And now I'll offer the opportunity for us to, if anyone would like to offer a thought, written or otherwise, this is a good time to do it. And Frederick, I think you have something there. So let's
yes.
see. Okay. Okay, Frederick, go ahead.
Yes, gratitude for your introduction to that. I have a question regarding the hatred, because hatred might be created by some cause, so we may need some time to produce some forgiveness to clean up the hatred.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a very good point, and I think that when we get a good grasp of who we are, that we actually are the other being, and we learn the art of identification, which is cultivated after the second initiation in earnest. I mean, we may know about it, but it's cultivated in earnest after the second initiation and is achieved successively as the initiations proceed until we come to a great being like the Christ, who is a master of identification. Then the forgiveness flows easily, because we know, as Master Moria says, that the future is always greater than the past, and there will always be redemption, and the sins of the past will begin to diminish and look very, very small compared to the great potentials in which we will all share. There are a lot of different methods of pursuing forgiveness, but you have to kind of realize who you are in relation to the other person. And then it maybe becomes possible. And then you have to realize the vastness of life. And, you know, certain things that you don't want to forgive, they look so huge. But then when you expand your consciousness, they begin to diminish. Your thoughts, Frederick?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, gratitude.
Okay, we expand. We expand our thought. And, you know, for me, if I can say, I'm fascinated by the idea of Spinoza's definition of God, a being infinitely infinite. And when I think about that idea of infinitely infinite, it is so never-endingly vast and unbounded that every sin, every misdoing, misdeed begins to shrink until it's almost like nothing, in the face of the vastness of the infinitely infinite, which is an advanced understanding of God. Basically, DK said that Spinoza was actually a member of the hierarchy, or at least, he was included in that circle. He was a great philosopher, and Einstein was reading him, and he was a great mind, but a great heart at the same time, and he revealed many things about the nature of deity, which I find very useful. So maybe, who knows, you might find that, maybe you already have found it interesting. And here a couple of things you said that we will talk about the possibility in French. That would be wonderful. Hatred is created mostly by energy mismanagement and a collision of energies on the lower levels. The forgiveness, well, I say, with identification and the expansion of understanding of our nature, it diminishes. And yes, agreed. We are the mirror, so we can become the facilitator for this forgiveness process. We all have a lot to learn, don't we? But under good guidance from the hierarchy, we can learn fast now. So, thank you very much for your question and your thought. Okay, other thoughts here. Our subject, psychologically looking within, finding the factors of repulsion, seeing whether they are justified under the law of repulse, or whether they are just a convenience for us to preserve our comfort zone so that we don't have to deal with the assimilation of energies which are different from our own. So often separateness is based on laziness. We just don't want to expand our ring pass knot. We don't give other energies a fair hearing. But eventually we will, and we must. So there's going to be some discomfort involved, and we no way to avoid that discomfort to the personality. Okay, are there other thoughts or questions that you have might like to offer? We're ranging here in in DK's writings. You never know what you're going to come in contact with. We're looking at the great heresy of separateness and the resultant glamour of hatred. But we come along other things as well. DK wrote one big book, as far as I'm concerned, and in the putting together of all that he wrote, in new combinations comes new revelation to us. So we proceed in the growing light. Okay, anybody? Maybe the subject is so simple, that there's not so much to say. But let's just say we do have, I'm sure, strong feelings about certain people, certain groups, people who are offending. I mean, you look at the world today. I'm looking at these 350,000 Rohingya people in Myanmar that are fleeing for their lives. It's a complicated issue between Buddhism and in Islam. But the human suffering is very, very great. And what are the sources of hatred? I mean, for heaven's sake, Myanmar is mostly a Buddhist country. And the Dalai Lama said, very understated, he said, the Buddha would help the Rohingya, he said. The Buddha would do that. But, people get sectarian in their views and they threaten the lives of those who believe differently than they do. And, of course, then there are the militants, among the Rohingya who are killing, 100 here, 100 there, it makes no difference to them. This is the militant sixth-ray, first-ray state of mind, just eliminate the enemy. So very great hatred, very great sense of difference. What does he say? Evil. Evil is nothing but an impelling sense of difference. So, he says that somewhere in the rays at the initiations. Let's see if I can quickly find that. I think it's here. Impelling a difference. There's only one reference, so maybe that's it. Here it is, I think. Evil is, after all, only an impelling sense of difference leading inevitably to separative action. So every once in a while he comes up with one of those landmark definitions which really can impress us. And we have to overcome this sense of difference because essentially there is none. And it's a huge battle to overcome mistaken identity, if you will. A huge battle, but we will achieve that, of course. Anyway, page 176 of the Rays and the Initiations. Okay, before going on to the meditation, are there any other thoughts or questions that you want to offer? Okay.
Not this moment.
Okay, well, all right, then let's together use our formula as an instrument, a light-bearing instrument for the dissipation of the great glamour of hatred, as DK discusses it. And, I suppose, my guess is that before a real wave of love sweeps through humanity, as we can anticipate as the hierarchy and the Christ approach, that we're going to get the evocation of the opposite. Somewhere in the esoteric healing books, it says good draws evil to the surface. It's the ninth law or something like that. As a matter of fact, it's so good that I just have to go there, if you don't mind. Good, evil, surface. But I better spell it correctly. So here it is, and this is, I think, what is happening. Oh, here it is. It's perfection. Okay, yeah. Perfection calls imperfection to the surface. Good drives evil away from the form of man in time and space. But, under Pluto, you have to see it first. The method used by the perfect one and that employed by good, capital G, is harmlessness. This is not, it should say negativity, or not negative, but perfect poise, a completed point of view, and divine understanding. And every one of those qualities is a Libran quality. It's not reserved only for those who are under the influence of that sign, but it is particularly, they are particularly related to the sign Libra. So Excuse me. Perfection calls imperfection to the surface. The Christ, the perfect one, his high, relatively, of course, and the hierarchy approaching. So naturally, the imperfection, we're going to see it. And before the first initiation of humanity, we have a lot of Pluto dragging stuff to the surface, the imperfection, so that we can see, repel, dispel, scatter, disperse, whatever you want to call it. Good drives evil always from the form of man in time and space. And we're going through that problem process right now. And it can be very painful. The method used by the perfect one and that employed by good is harmlessness. Now, harmlessness has some amazing definitions. And first of all, you have to be everywhere to be harmless. And that opens up a whole philosophical question, which is an amazing question. This is not negative, but perfect poise. That's Libra. A completed point of view, that's Libra, and divine understanding, that's Libra. So this great sign of peace and love, and let us say a sign of the Christ, who is Pisces and Libra, at least in my view, enters here when we think of these qualities. All righty, let's see where we are here, and if there's nothing more to be said. Then the meditation. So, first of all, let's just enter a little silence among ourselves because it does tend to gather the energies and synthesize the energies. So, in the silence, our unification as an instrument useful to hierarchy can occur. And then we use the very necessary protective formula, and we make the divine cross using the eyes as we say this together. And keep radiating the light produced. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. One more time. As a soul, I work in light. And darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And just see the light radiating cross. Then he calls it the cross of divinity. It's the long-armed cross in this case. All crosses are really astronomical symbols. Then we're going to focus the light of matter, etheric physical. Raise it up to the mental level where we meet the light of mind. We blend these two. in the imagination. A dual light is now formed, and we turn our attention in imagination to soul light, perhaps focusing above the head. We try to contact soul light and realize its reality. And the next step is to fuse upon the plane of mind the two lower lights, which are already imaginatively fused, with the descending soul light, so that we have a triple light, which is one. Result will be the mind held steady in the light of the soul. It's a blend of higher mind and lower mind, supported by the vitality of the etheric physical mechanism. And now three lights are one. And we will say, in acknowledgement of this fact, together, the light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day, the light of day, the intuitive light of the Buddhic plane. The sacred word. Then we move into the formula itself, and as we say these words, we will imagine, visualize, that we have created a great searchlight, a group searchlight, which we turn on and ascend into the astral plane. It's both a mechanism of perception and a mechanism of destruction. It's like the horn of the unicorn, a horn of light. And so we say together, radiance and power are we and power. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. And it is emphasized how much understanding of the particular glamour and its sources and implications will help us with the dissipation of that glamour. So our beam, our group beam, is imagined as focused on the astral plane. It's going to find the darkness, the mists, the fogs, the miasmas, the veils, all these things associated with the glamour that we are presently focused upon, presently attacking. But we need to strengthen our beam with the will, with the spiritual will, coming ultimately from the monad itself and descending through the various aspects of triad and soul. And so, we say together, visualizing the strengthening with will of our beam, we say, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. So just get a sense of the brilliance and the power of our group beam, to which the beam coming forth from each of us contributes. It is our weapon of light in this battle with glamour. So we're going to work on the so-called great glamour of hatred using the word of power. And here are three sentences comprising this word of power, or these words of power. So we imagine as we say these potent sentences, we see our will-strengthened, powerful, brilliant group light penetrating into the glamour and producing its weakening and dissipation. You'll use your creative imagination doing this. Together, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of hatred. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of hatred from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour of hatred. It's as if our weapon of light, our beam of light, so clarifies the astral plane around this particular problem that the sun of light and love can shine, bringing love and harmony where once there was hatred and repulsion. We know how easily the enemies of old can turn into friends. It happens all the time. And so, in the 5 minutes of purposeful, intense silence in which we see the work proceeding, we will behold the astral plane clarifying, and especially around this subject of hatred. So, 5 minutes in which you work with your creative imagination, using the words of power in any way that you see fit. And so we are doing rhythmically our little bit to help clarify the astral plane and make it the true recipient of the energy of love from the soul and eventually from the Buddhic plane. And instead of the divisive energies of Mars and Pluto and lower Saturn, we're bringing in Venus and Jupiter and Neptune as must appear at the second initiation. So together, we withdraw our beam back onto the mental plane, away from the astral plane. And we turn that light off, that searchlight. He calls it the searchlight of the soul. It is the dominating energy, the soul energy. And it is shut off until we can use it again, though I suspect in the individual conquest of glamour we can use it also, dealing with our individual liabilities. And we will then to close our work, sound the sacred word three times. Thank you, friends, for this work. We continue as we go along. This is our morning schedule. Tuya will be offering the emergency work tomorrow and the General Soul of Nations work at 5 a.m. GMT. If you're living in England, it's rather early, isn't it? And even more so if it's South America. Maybe some in the United States can do it. And then the reappearance, rather, excuse me, the attracting money for hierarchical purposes, Sunday morning. I would also like to call your attention to the beginning of Francis Donald's Secret Doctrine series. He's offered some wonderful webinar series, and now he's beginning a new one. So let's see, maybe Brett, if you could. If you have the link there, possibly for the chat box, maybe it's there, I don't know. But if you can put that in, and if you're patient for a moment, you can get that link. It's probably been sent to you. You know, Francis has a broad knowledge, and he always enhances the work with artistic examples and diagrams, and the Secret Doctrine is a fundamental book, you know. So he's going to be offering this on, I think it's going to be an alternating schedule. Anyway, it's a Sunday night offering, Sunday evening GMT. And I think, Brett, am I correct that it's 8 o'clock GMT? that he's offering that.
I think
I th
I'm still looking for the announcement on this computer
okay.
so I can stick it on.
Okay. Well, it's just I'm very happy to see that Francis is doing this. You know, we, in addition to our work with the Moria Federation, which is intensive academic meditative work, we're trying to fill in and supplement with our webinars and our broadcasts a lot of additional enrichment material. So, you know, you may want to take advantage of as much of this as may be possible to you. Do you have anything there, Brett, yet? I should have thought of this, but maybe if I
Haven't yet, sorry.
okay, it's very quickly. Let's see if I can if I can go there. Unfortunately, I kind of made disappear. And I'm afraid I'll make us disappear if I try to do this. But anyway, just check your email, and we need to get that out to you, and we will. It's for Sunday night, so at least the people on this list should receive it if we can't do it right now. And then, as I say, we're going to have the opportunity for you to receive in the identification as being group some documents and some thoughts, and maybe again we'll have a chance to have some webinars on the subject. Our webinar,
Nice.
got it, Brett?
I've got it. Secret Doctrine, Episode 1, presented by Francis Donald, Sunday, 17th September, 8 p.m. GMT.
Okay, and do we have the link?
I'm working on that.
Oh, well, this is going to be a test of patience for everybody. If I had thought a little more carefully, we could have lined all this up ahead of time. But I do want you to be able to take advantage of this
Okay, almost.
offering. So it's
All right.
sounds like Brett's closing in.
Copy and paste. Now, here comes the copy. And paste it into the chat box. Here comes the paste with the link. Registration link is
Fantastic.
there.
All right. Patience has won the day. Then you can go there. To that link that you see in the chat box now, and participate. It's a tough book, you know, Secret Doctrine, and a lot of people keep it on their shelves and never read it, but it's fundamental, and as Alice Bailey said, you know, it's got information that you just can't get anywhere else. Okay, friends, so then we'll be seeing you Tuya and I tomorrow morning, and then on Sunday morning, and then on Sunday evening, we have the Francis Donald's presentation. And just stay alert. I hope that you are all on the constant contact list of the Moria Federation. If you are not, please write to BrettM77@gmail.com. BrettM77@gmail.com. And we'll make sure you're on the constant contact list so you can be informed of all these events. Okay, lots of love to everybody, and let's keep working at the clarification of the camomanasic vehicle of humanity and end the glamours which presently hold us in thrall. Bye-bye for now.